Uncertainty has plagued us for generations. Where do we go? What do we do? And who do I trust? But since the beginning, God was there. He told us where to go and what to do and who to trust. But when sin entered the world, we lost sight of God. We needed someone to redeem us from ourselves, and that is why Jesus came. However, he wasn't an afterthought. He was the plan, and God foretold his coming over 500 times so that generations could prepare their hearts for the coming of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Good morning, church. How are you? Let me just move this out of the way. It's Christmas. Feeling a little bit more like Christmas every single day. Who's enjoying this? Kids, we're on school holidays. Excited, which means you get to join us here in Big Church. And so feel free, kids, to make a bit of noise, anything like that, maybe a few amens, whatever you would like. Bit of encouragement is always good. We love it. We love having kids in church with us. And so we're heading through our Christmas series. If you missed last week, maybe like the Browns, you were away or something like that, just you can watch it on YouTube and you can catch up and follow our series wherever you are. Wherever you're traveling this Christmas, or if you're with us here, feel free to join us and engage with it. Now, we're looking at some of the prophetic promises that relate to Jesus the Christ, our Messiah that we celebrate at Christmas time. This is who we're looking at, and we're looking at some of the promises that came from the Old Testament that come to the moment here. Last week, we looked at how God foretold the coming of the Messiah from the very beginning. This was not simply an afterthought. He was there, and God promised. The moment we sinned, God told us his plan. He hinted at this idea that Jesus, the Messiah, would come and save us. Then we looked at and we saw through the time of Noah that God showed Noah that he would save his people, save his family from their sin. And we saw that the writer of Hebrews referred that ark, the ark that Noah built, as an ark of salvation. See these hints of prophetic words that were culminated in Jesus the Messiah. Then we saw guys like Melchizedek just kind of appear, and Abraham recognized who he was. We saw this another hint of the coming of Jesus, and then Abraham, the promise of an offspring of Abraham that would be able to bless the whole earth, was culminated in Jesus the Christ. And so we saw in this curse and sin and punishment that God placed upon the people, a God that is judging sin, but at the same time, his loving kindness, his peace, mercy, and grace is there to save and redeem us. This is the amazing prophetic nature of what Jesus and God planned from the very beginning. So today we're going to look at the Passover. Now that may seem a little bit not like a Christmas message, but bear with me. There's prophetic nature in here. We're going to turn to Exodus chapter 12 and look at it. It says, while the Israelites were in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice, one animal for each household. If a family is too small to eat a whole animal, let them share with another family in the neighborhood. Divide the animal according to the size of each family and how much they can eat. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either sheep or goat, with no defects. Take special care of this chosen animal, until the evening of the 14th day of this first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb or young goat at twilight. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and the top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. And that same night, they must roast the meat over the fire and eat it along with bitter salad greens and bread made without yeast. Do not eat any of the meat raw or boiled in water. The whole animal, including the head, legs, and internal organs, must be roasted over a fire. Do not leave any of it until the next morning, and burn whatever is not eaten before morning. These are your instructions for eating this meal. Be fully dressed, wear your sandals, and carry your walking stick in hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and this plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. One of the significant things about Jesus is not simply that he was born of miraculous birth, not simply that he was spoken about many years prior, but the miraculous part of Jesus was his role here on earth. The reason why we celebrate Jesus at Christmas and Easter and throughout the entire year is not just who he was, but what he did. The role in which he played within our salvation is what we celebrate at Christmas. That is the fact that our Messiah had a role to redeem us, to redeem God's people from their own sin. That way, as we removed the sin from us, we could come into the presence of God. We needed something that would remove our sin so that we could know God. And that was the central role that Jesus, the Messiah, the one who had come before, played. And it was here, we have in Exodus, that God reveals this plan. God reveals exactly the role in which the Savior has. And it's what's referred to as the first Passover. You see, it's important first to understand why there was a need for the Passover in the first place. You see, we enter in Exodus 12 a time when the nation of Israel had been living in the land of Egypt for a number of years. They came in and they were elevated to a high status. You remember Joseph, if you know the story. He was quite high in the Egyptian hierarchy and leadership. And so the Israelites were favored. But time passed, and there was a Pharaoh that did not like the Israelites, that did not favor them, and they were thrust into slavery. And it was this time, 400 years later, that God came to Moses and promised that he would redeem his people, that he would redeem them out of slavery and take them back to the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. But we see that the Egyptians wanted to keep them as slaves. Who would want thousands of people, you know, to build things free of charge? You just had to look after them a little bit. Why would you want to let them go? And we see that at this time, the heart of Pharaoh is that he wanted to keep their slaves. And his heart was hard, and he would not give them up easily. And so before this, chapter 12, we have a series of plagues, a series of judgment that God poured out upon the Egyptians to try and get his people released. Now, each plague has a significance. Most of them had significance to the Egyptians' gods, and it was attack against them. And so nine plagues have passed, and we get to this plague here, which is the 10th plague, the plague of the firstborn. And so we see this plague poured out. See, the first Passover here wasn't necessarily a celebration, but it was an act of redemption. It was an act of a sign that they were going to be, that they had aligned their faith, their belief with God. You see, the act of that was declaring that they wanted to follow Jesus. They wanted to follow their Lord and Savior. So they didn't know who Jesus was at this time, that they knew who God was. They knew God the Father. And so by following this act of Passover, they were declaring that their household was one of God. They declared that they believed in the Lord and that He is their Lord. It wasn't a celebration until the next year. It wasn't a celebration until afterwards, where the Israelites would celebrate the Passover. But this first Passover was an act of redemption. You see, the instructions are quite clear here that God gave to Moses. There's certain times in the scriptures where it hones in on to specific detail. There's things where God provides this plan where it's very general. And this is one of those moments where God hones in on specific detail, where there's specific instructions of what will happen. You see, this simple act was not something that was just simply passed over or simply just go and kill a lamb and this is what you are going to do. It's very specific. God said to Moses, this is what you're to tell your people. Today will be the first month of the year. This is significant. It's read as if the months of the year were different. And God just simply goes, today is going to be the first month. So imagine if I declared today is going to be the 1st of January. Would you be disappointed? You miss Christmas. Maybe disappointed. But that's what it seems like. It seems like he just gets it and goes, okay, today's the first month. This is a significant moment in time that I'm going to actually change the calendar. That would get their attention. Today is going to be the first month. And on the 10th day of this month, you are to choose a lamb or goat without defects. And so the 10th day comes around. They choose a lamb, one for their household. If they had a smaller household, you see that specific, that God makes consideration for smaller households. It must be a one-year-old male. And the key thing is no defects. It's perfect. And so they are to keep that animal for 4 days. You see, on the 14th day, they are to sacrifice it. They are to sacrifice it at twilight. Now, that probably was the afternoon twilight. And they are to do it all at the same time as a whole community. Thousands of people at the same time sacrificing this animal. And they are to eat this animal with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. See, the instructions are here that Moses even records it twice. The instructions are here again. From verse 22, it says, you are to go pick a lamb or young goat for each of the family and slaughter the Passover animal. You are to drain the blood into the basin and take a bundle of hyssop branches and dip it into the blood. Brush the hyssop across the top and the sides of your doorframe on your houses so that no one may go out through your door until morning. You see, God already mentions that they are to kill the lamb, but there's something more significant that God is actually doing here. There is a specific instruction that God is calling them to do. And that's where our prophecy lies today. You see, imagine this is the doorway into their house. They are to get the lamb as per the instruction. They are to get the juices of the lamb. It's G-rated today as well, just because we got the kids in. And they are to paint it on the top of the doorframe. Very specific, odd. Don't paint the whole doorframe. Paint it on the top. Some versions talk about dip or just brush, and then on the side. Two sides. Doesn't tell us how much, but I'm sure it was a generous amount. And that, through that act and through the blood, they would be redeemed. Through the blood of the Lamb, they would be saved from the plagues. See, there's one thing interesting about this plague. All nine other plagues, the nation of Israel did not have to do anything. They didn't have to sacrifice a different animal. They didn't have to hide in their houses. God simply redeemed them without doing anything. And yet he comes to the tenth plague, and God gives them special instructions to be redeemed. Special instructions. There is something required, some decision required by the nation of Israel so that they would be redeemed at this moment. This is more than just a plague. This is a real prophetic act. You know, this plague was a real judgment act. You know, we mentioned about God's judgment, that he would actually kill the firstborn son of all those who didn't do this in Egypt, and the animals as well. But there is a prophetic nature that is at play there, and it's incredibly symbolic of what is to come. Jesus, you know, God here required people to respond. There was a response required here. You see, when we come to Jesus, when we come to our salvation, which is the purpose in which Jesus came, the reason that we celebrate, we too require a response. See, Jesus' purpose and Jesus' sacrifice was in fact foretold at the Passover. If you notice there, over on the door, who's seen the image? Put your hand up if you see the image here. There's a few. So you notice the specific instruction at the top, which if it's blood, so it'll most likely drip down to the bottom, and on the sides, which have come across. The specific image here is the cross of Jesus. So incredible. I wonder if they ever imagined it. This, remember, is 700 years before the Roman Empire. It is almost 1,500 years before Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross for them. This is well before, and Jesus speaks here and goes, I am going to redeem you. You see, this is how we know, as God's people, that this was not an afterthought. That Jesus dying on the cross was planned. See, when Jesus stood there on the cross and was sacrificed, he knew this had to happen. He knew this sacrifice would have to happen for us, and he knew how it was going to happen. Because it was foretold generations prior. Let's not be surprised that God is here to redeem us. That God will save us and save you from your wrongdoings. To the Israelites here were saved at the Passover from the angel of death, this destroyer that was going to come by a simple act. that would cover them and the Lord would pass over. And they were redeemed then, but through their faith and through their righteousness, Jesus' act on the cross would redeem them completely. See, Jesus is incredible. God is incredible in that. 1 Peter 1:19 says these words. It says, "It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, that God chose him as a ransom long before the world began. But now, in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake." See, God's plan was from the beginning, and he continued throughout the generations, through the Passover, to unfold his salvation story, which culminated, which came to earth in the birth of Jesus. Came to earth in his redemption story. You see, we have this image in Revelation as well of the Lamb, this majestic Lamb that has been sacrificed for all people. It's an incredible image in Revelation 5, and there's a little picture on there. It's not as graphic as the other ones you can Google and find. But it's an incredible image of the Lamb of God which came to redeem us. And so that's how we know, as God's people, that Jesus was foretold through the Passover. That Jesus was foretold for many times. But one of the interesting things about the Passover lamb is that it required a response. And one of the interesting things about the cross and the salvation that Jesus gives is that it requires a response. I loved it. I was at the carols last night, in the Mayor's Christmas carols. It's incredible to see thousands of people singing and praising God. There is so much biblical. And we hear these stories, we sing these songs. And as Father Bill got up there and shared the incredible Christmas message there at the carols, he read and spoke about the salvation that comes through Jesus, the birth of this son. But as I look amongst the people, not all these people will receive the salvation and the joy that comes from that, because it requires a response from us. For us to be covered by the blood of Jesus, it requires a response. And so as we sing these stories at Christmas, as we reflect on these words, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, my question to you is, has his blood been applied to you? Have you been redeemed? The joy that we feel at Christmas is multiplied 100, 1,000-fold for those that go to heaven, for those that are saved and redeemed. Have you been covered by the blood of Jesus? Has he redeemed you? That is a decision that you have to make. Not me, not the church, not your family. That's your decision to make. And you can make it today if you would like to. You can make it at any stage of your life, but don't leave it until it's too late. Let me pray. O Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your redemption. Lord, we thank you for your blood that covered over us. We thank you for the salvation and which it brought. Lord, redeem us. Save us. Lord, today we make that decision to be redeemed. And Lord, as we do that, transform us to be more like you. Thank you. Amen.